Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your show host, Randy Fine. We're all attracted to crystals. They're beautiful. You know, we see them everywhere. We are fascinated by them, but we really don't understand what they do. And crystals can be very powerful. They're not just a decorative item, but they contain deep earth energy that we can use to power our lives physically and spiritually. And today we have with us Kak Young, who is the author of The Art of Healing with Crystals. We've had her here to talk about her book, The Healing Art of Essential Oils. Kak has been a producer, writer, and director in the Hollywood television industry for over 25 years, but she has also earned a PhD in natural health and a doctorate in naturopathy. She completed 36 courses in nutrition from Baylor University. Clients come to her for advice on health, nutrition, and spiritual well-being. And today she's with us to explain to us exactly what crystals are and how we can use them in our lives. So let me get started, I'm going to introduce her to you so we can – this is going to be a fascinating show. I'm really excited to learn about this. So good morning, Kak. How are you?
Good morning, Randy. I'm just fine. It's foggy on the West Coast and probably sunny where you are.
Oh, well, I'm in South Florida, and it's rainy season, so not really.
All right. We have the same kind of weather then. Oh, my goodness.
Exactly. So today we're going to talk about your new book, The Art of Healing with Crystals. That's so exciting. I know it's in bookstores, and it's also available on Amazon. So tell us a little bit of what sparked your interest in crystals.
Oh, Randy, it goes back to the 1980s. I was very privileged to work with a man named Frank Alper, and he had been working in the scientific laboratories of IBM using crystals for the development of computers and electronics. And he became so enamored with their qualities and the abilities of what they could do, how they could take a signal, how they could handle heat, how they could transmute and transmit energy, that he also began to study what they could do on the metaphysical level. You know, if they could do X with sound, then they can maybe do Y with healing. And so he became, well, he traveled the world and he taught for many, many years after he left IBM. And he wanted to convey to people the electromagnetic possibilities of working with the mineral and gemstone kingdom and bringing that into our lives, catching us up, if you will, with what the ancients have known and done for centuries, and how we just are oblivious to the power in the ground. So I studied with him, and he did all kinds of little ceremonies with us, implanting symbolic crystals in our hands, turning us into healers, giving us an attachment and an attunement to the crystal world. Oh, I mean, it was just life-changing. So from there, I began to work with crystals in my own life. I certainly acquired them wherever I went. I visited mines. I found them all over the world. And I began to then work with other shamans and healers around the world. And what I learned is that everybody, every healer works with some kind of energy, some kind of form of the electromagnetic energy. And when we work with crystals, we're working with something that has power in and of itself outside of ourselves. And when combined with our energetic field, that's where the healing takes place.
Interesting. Well, that's fascinating. And you know, it really helps when you can actually see the power of what you're using in place. You know, so you know, for instance, I took a course on quantum healing, quantum touch healing, and they demonstrated exactly how energy, how you could see the change in energy when people did different things, when they thought different thoughts. When they had different thoughts and whatever it was. And so seeing that was so powerful to me, because you hear about the fact that these things can work, but when you can actually see them in action, it totally changes your perception of it. So how do you actually heal something with crystals?
Well, let's go back and talk about what a crystal is and why it is effective. When people, look at a crystal, they say, oh, it's just a pretty rock. But it is not. What it is, crystal is a perfectly balanced structure, the most highly organized grouping of atoms or molecules in the world. I mean, it is the only thing in the universe that is perfect. It has this microscopic structure that forms what they call a crystal lattice, and that lattice extends perfectly and equidistantly in all directions. Now, for the non-scientific people, which, you know, I'm one of them, it is able, through its atomic structure, to regulate and balance the energy traveling through it. And there's three kinds of energies or qualities. It is a piezoelectric, which means that if you strike it, gives off a heat and energy and a form of light. It gives off heat when you hit it. And that is a contact or a connection. Then it is pyroelectric, and that is that it generates the heat when it is heated. So if you hit it, you generate heat. If you heat it from another source, it also retains the heat, and it can transmit it through itself. It is also triboluminescent, and it emits light when you rub two things or scratch it in frictional contact. So why that's important is that it tells you that this crystal is alive, that inside of it, it has living atoms that interact with what we do to it and what we ask it to do. And so we can manipulate it in those forms. That's why it's used in electronics, because it retains an even balance of heat. It retains an even balance of energy through the crystal. When you use a phonograph, the needle on your phonograph going into the vinyl, that's a crystal tip. And the crystal picks up the oscillations and the vibrations and turns it into sound through your speakers. So we use crystals all the time, certainly in our phones and our computers, and even in acupuncture. Many of the needles that are put into us to work with vibrational energy have a crystal or crystal point.
Really? Interesting. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's fascinating. Yeah, I actually heard that, I don't know where I read this, but they say that the Lost Island of Atlantis, that it ran completely on this one giant quartz crystal, that's how, you know, they energized everything on this island. So, and I found that really, really fascinating.
It's also true that the original pyramid, and this is what I just have discovered in my travels, and I've been there, the original pyramids were constructed with the stones so tightly put together that you cannot slip a razor blade through them. And that was, and that's what exists today, but originally, there was granite on the outside and crystal at the top. They used them as transmitters of energies. They filled the pyramids with water. They weren't used as burial tombs. They were filled with water, and they became batteries, and that's how the Egyptians were able to see at night. They created their own lights. And in my book, I show you the drawings on the pyramids and talk about this because it's fascinating. What I also find fascinating is that when Napoleon's troops in the early 1800s came and conquered those lands, they took back with them some of the electromagnetic machines that the Egyptians used. And if you look back into the patents of that time in France, you'll see that the French patented many of those things that the ancient Egyptians used and created. So they built the pyramids with light that was generated from another pyramid. So they were able to work night and day, and except by moonlight, they didn't have to rely on the moon being dark for half the month. They could generate their own light.
Wow, that's not commonly known. That's fascinating.
No, it's not. It's not. And the other thing too about crystals is, just in speaking of their practical use, and then we'll get into the healing, is that we use them in surgeries. We could not have laser surgeries if it weren't for crystals, because they are at the very basis of the laser, and witnessing how the signal travels through the laser in a steady beam because of the internal atomic structure of the crystal. That's what allows it. So when I wrote my book, Randy, I wanted to take the woo-woo out of crystals, because that's what Frank did for me. When I left his courses and classes, I knew that crystals had a place in this world on so many levels. And I don't want just to talk about their healing qualities without grounding everybody in their truth and reality so they understand why they heal.
Right, and that's kind of what I was saying earlier. It's like when you understand that there's a scientific principle behind all these things, then it really makes it, like you say, it takes the woo-woo out of it.
The healing abilities of crystals are kind of amazing, because the first jewelry that was worn in India and in China and in Egypt, these were stones placed at reflexology points where the Chinese meridians are. They were placed at these meridians for healing purposes. Jewelry was never meant to be, oh, look how rich I am. It was meant to be a healing property, a stone, something at the throat chakra at various different points. So our jewelry was really our first hospital.
Wow. That's so funny. That's really cool. Makes sense, though. It really does.
Doesn't it?
So before we get into, what I've been told, you know, I used to go into crystal shops and just walk around and look when I didn't really have, you know, other things to do, and it just was fascinating. And so what I learned is that you select a crystal based on what you're attracted to. Now, obviously, if you're selecting it for a particular healing quality, that's a different story. But is that true, that you are supposed to be attracted to the crystal in some way?
Well, sure. I mean, we're talking about the vibrational world now. We're talking about something deep in us and the gemstone or rock world. So what you are attracted to a person, a thing, a place, maybe by its beauty initially, and then by what else it vibrates to you. So what I suggest is that when you're looking for a crystal, make a day of it or an afternoon of it and pick two or three shops. Go to each shop and hold the crystal in your right hand and then hold it in your left hand. And take a moment. Try to communicate with this crystal through your body, through your own electromagnetic force. And then don't buy it. Go to the next shop and do the same thing. Then maybe after you've gone to two or three shops, sit down with a cup of tea and your notes and look at and just read your notes about what one emanated the most to you and how you felt when you were holding the crystal. And then narrow that down and go back and buy that one. And, you know, just buy one or two to start with. Take it home, cleanse it, and then begin to integrate it into your home. You know, in my book I talk about my crystals and how a new one just came into my life. And it already has a purpose. It's very fun. And that's because I moved it room to room to see where it was most comfortable. It's about rapport, and it's the rapport with this living, breathing thing, this entity called a crystal.
So that's really cool. So I had somebody help me get crystals one time, and I got very large amethyst point, very kind of wide and tall, and it was a point. And then I have six crystal points around it. Sometimes when I'm doing shows or sometimes when I'm doing counseling, I will put that grid under my chair, and oh my gosh, I get so hot. It generates so much heat under me. It's crazy. Why is that happening?
Well, that's happening because when a crystal comes into our life, it has an electromagnetic field. We have an electromagnetic field. And when those two fields come in contact with each other, they create a third electromagnetic field. Now, in healing, the brain picks up that vibration of those fields and it to the hypothalamus and to the thymus, and that's where the chemical changes take place, and that's how we heal through the body. You're feeling the heat because you are picking up the energy of those crystals, and your electromagnetic field is responding directly to that. So it's available to you, and when you combine yours and its, then you can take it into the brain and allow it to heal your body, because your body responds. Because why? We are part silicone. We have a lot of silicon in our brain, and crystal is SiO2, which is a silicone molecule. So we are silicone, they are silicone, we vibrate together. It's one big happy darn family.
Wow, so fascinating. I love this stuff. This is so, so cool. So what does it mean, you know, I know that the chakras have colors. Do we choose crystals based on what we need to heal in our bodies by the color, or what do these colors actually mean to us?
Well, actually, I'll tell you that, first of all, we are attracted to the crystal out of our sense of awareness. And we are alive. The crystal is alive. The crystal has awareness, and we have awareness. What the crystal doesn't have is mind. It cannot make decisions. So we come into its field, and we make decisions for it. We direct its energy into what we want to have happen. So if we're attracted to an amethyst or a citrine or an aventurine or lapis, whatever we're attracted to, that's just one level of connection. Now we want to take its qualities and we want to harness them and we want to say, all right, you have these qualities in you. Let me use them in this way or that way so I can begin to heal myself. If I have difficulties in my chakras, then I will use the opposite color to balance them. If I have too much of one thing in my chakra, then I balance it with the opposite color. Now, a lot of massage therapists and people use the balancing fact of the exact same stone for each chakra, and that doesn't do anything. That does nothing. That doesn't even neutralize them. What you need to do is find where the imbalance is in the chakra and use the opposite or complementary color to healing it. So it's kind of working with yin and yang energies when you balance the chakras using gemstones. And it's not about just some pretty little layout that makes you look like an Indian princess. It's about using the qualities of the stones to balance yourself.
Okay. That makes sense. I never knew that. I thought that, you know, so like for instance, if you need to do something with your heart, you don't necessarily want the green stone. What is the opposite of the green on the color wheel?
Well, it depends. It depends on what you're trying to balance about your heart. If you have a lot of negativity in your heart, if you have a lot of sadness and grief, then you would balance that with black tourmaline.
Okay.
You know, if you are too generous with your heart and you want to pull that back somehow, perhaps you'd want to use jade. You want to use something to balance. And again, you would select based on the problem. In my book, I have a whole section in the back that has intake with a client, that if you're going to use it, if you're an astrologer, you can use essential oils and you can use the gemstones for healing. If you want to use the laws of karma, you can use gemstones and healing with that. If you want to do a layout on someone, whatever modality of healing you are familiar with and use, you can bring in the gemstones, and I lay out my 12 favorite to begin with, because you can start with 12 and become very adept using them and then branch out and use more. There's about 400 stones, so it's hard to cover all that. Well, it's not a smart thing to do to cover all that when you're trying to learn them in depth and connect with them vibrationally. So, once you assess what the problem is, then you have different ways of healing it and balancing it and bringing it back into balance, because that's what we're after in healing, is bringing the body back into harmony with itself so that mind, body, and soul are together. They all line up congruently, and that's what using the minerals kingdom to help you do does.
Okay, so there's a lot to learn with crystals, but it's best to start with just the basics, get comfortable with that, and grow from there. Because there's so much, I mean, based on what you're saying, there's so much to know in using them, how to use them, and which ones to use. And but I guess that's really why your book is so important, because it gives us this fundamental way of using them so that we can grow with it, right?
Yes, exactly. And I wanted to lay it out. I wanted the people to understand the history and the science behind the crystals so that when they get into the healing modalities, using it for themselves and for other people, their family or their clients, that they would really know why something works. You know, it's not essential that we know how a watch is put together to be able to tell the time. But if we do know that, we understand more about the essence of time and how the watch works. Well, with crystals, it's kind of very important because it gives you a deeper understanding, and therefore you have more power in using them for healing.
Okay, great. So how do you clean them? I mean, I know, I think you can put them out in sunlight, you can put them in sea salt, and how do we clean them and why do we clean them?
Well, okay, so I say that, or I call a crystal alive and that it breathes because at one point in the world, it was a breath. And at that time, it was molten, and it was like a breath happened, and that became a solid thing. So captured within most crystals is what I call suspended breath. So that breath is in there, and we don't know what was happening at the time that it formed. Because crystals can be programmed, we don't know where they've been, who they've been around, so and what vibrations they may contain. Because remember, their job is just to hold the vibrations and transmit them. They don't think up the vibrations or the purpose. We do that. So if someone has had them prior, or they've been in a particular environment, then you want to bring them home and cleanse them. You want to strip them of their old past and just use their current power in your life the way you want them to be. So you can cleanse them in some pure water. You can use a little organic soap if they're a little bit greasy from where they've been. You can put them in salt water. You can leave them in the sunlight. You can put them in the moonlight. Sometimes I've cleansed crystals with sound. And however you want to clean it, I mean, I have different colored rags for my crystals so that they each have their own little towel. And no, I don't have outfits for them, but I do. But I have, you know. But my work with my crystals is very ritual-based because to me they're sacred. And I, you know, I wash them and clean them. And then, like, during the last lunar eclipse, well, they were outside. Of course they were. And, you know, they have, it's a lot to carry my crystals out there. But I do. And they sit out there and just soak it all up. And then if there's a big solar activity or a big lunar activity, I'll take them all outside and they have a good time. And that's just kind
like
of
a family.
It is. It's a whole family. And I just, you know, they and I work together. I mean, I think the most recent story is I have this a table of crystals, and they're all about 14 inches tall, 5 to 6 inches wide. You know, yeah, they're just really beautiful. And we were in the Thomas Fire. My whole neighborhood burnt down, and I lost 30% of my house. But when I came in, after the fires, and we were allowed back to come in and get our medicines. You know, it's very dramatic when fire takes your neighborhood down. And I came back into the house, and everything was smoky, and the door had been crashed in by the fire people, thank God. And, you know, it was just chaos, and everything was still smoldering and burning. And I came in, and I looked to my left in my crystal room, and there were my crystals, just you know, with the smoke and the embers behind them. There they were. They were all in their glory. And I think, you know, Randy, that my crystals and that energy that I've put in there helped save our house. I think the firemen responded to their energy and said, well, let's put this house out. And I'll tell you, there is not one house around me that is still standing within the vision of as I look out on the street. And we are, you know, and we are.
That is amazing. I'm so sorry to hear that you went through that, but what an inspirational story. Wow. I would imagine that there was a lot of damage, but your house was still standing.
Yes. Yeah, we had to replace half the garage and half the walls and, you know, on the backside and all of the orchards and all that. But, yes, the house was still standing, especially, you know, untouched was the place of the where the crystals were, and I had 7 minutes to get out. You know, we saw the flames, 80 feet tall flames raging over the back. So we had 7 minutes to get seven animals and us out, and we left with nothing but cell phones and in our night clothes. So there was no second thought about what else to take, just the living things. And I said to the crystals, you know, good luck, you know. And
You're on your own.
And off we ran, and they all mustered. I mean, every single one of them mustered to the call. So that was kind of the most recent, and that was just last December. So that was kind of my most recent sense of the innate power of the mineral kingdom, and I honor it. I have other sets of healing crystals that I use when I work on people, and they are also extremely powerful. And it depends on the receptivity of the person, how much this crystal energy will work for them. I'm just a conduit. I just bring the crystal energy to its maximum capacity, and people can drink from the well or not, and it's up to them and their belief and their openness. But when they do, the power of the crystals and the energy field that we create allows them to reduce blockages, to open up, to heal physical problems. You know, it's just wonderful. I've seen, you know, what I would refer to as miraculous moments using crystal energy.
So we see a lot of things that have points. You know, people wear the points, and we see a lot of crystals that are points. What's the difference between a crystal that is a point and just an irregular crystal, regular shaped crystal?
Well, homeopathy was created by a set of trial and error with various different chemical compounds. And so that whole science was developed because people tried it this way, tried it that way, and then honed it down to a set of working criteria for prescribing a certain remedy. The same thing has happened with crystals and their shapes. Over the years, metaphysicians have come to believe by, a consensus of opinion that the activation crystal, for example, has five sides to it, and that this promotes creativity. A channeling crystal has seven sides on its face. A generator has six faces. A manifestation crystal has a smaller crystal visible inside. A dolphin crystal works when you're healing energies between a parent and a child, and that is one crystal that is piggybacked on another crystal. A double terminated has points on both sides, and it provides really balanced energy for bringing balance into the equation. So I think that the various different shapes of the crystals are the object, or they've come to the conclusion, many, many people for thousands of years, of what their purpose is. Now, that does not mean that you have to use them for that purpose. You might like a cathedral crystal because it's beautiful, but you don't have to use it for its psychic abilities. You can just use it for something else. These are suggestions of what other people have found over the years. This is kind of like the common thread. And I've put a few shapes in there. I think I've given 13. But I particularly like the story crystal because it is recognized as having three pyramids on the outside around the facets, and those are reputed to have information in them that people say, oh, yes, this crystal speaks to me, and it has a story to tell. It has been somewhere, it's had a series of experiences, and so it has wisdom to give. Those are kind of fun crystals to work with. But like I said, these are the suggestions of what the shapes might energetically do for you, but you can certainly use them for other things as well. And, you know, the same thing with colors. People have come through the years of saying, all right, this crystal works for this healing property, or it has certain properties, but you can also use them as your intuition dictates. That's the beauty of them. This is an intuitive practice and healing with the crystal and gem community. So I always say, take what other people have said and then investigate it yourself and find out the vibrations that you get from it and how you feel it heals you and how you can apply it. Nothing is hard and fast in the intuitive world.
That's true. That is true. So do you have to be an intuitive or a sensitive to work with crystals?
No, everybody has this within themselves. It's just the degree that we've allowed it to develop within ourselves. So allowing ourselves to trust this sixth sense or this communication ability we have with other things, and people experience it as deja vu or feeling that they've been someplace before, it's familiar, or something comes back to them, or they have a hunch about something. That's all working in that realm of the sixth sense. And I call it the world of the in-between. It's in between our scientific or mundane, visible world that we can appreciate and understand through the five senses. And then there is that sixth sense. There's the in-between between the cosmos, our world, but that little slice of the in-between, the Celts call it the veil. That is the place where all this transaction happens. This is where we connect with crystals. This is where we connect with angels, other entities. This is that world. And so in that world, if we want to develop our skill of intuition, we have to first of all trust ourselves. We have to say, yes, I have this ability, and now it's just either well-developed or not well-developed. You know, it's like riding a bicycle. The more you practice, the better you get. So when you're working with this kind of vibrational energy, it is very wise to increase and hone your intuition skills.
And also, when we use crystals, is the use based on intention always? Because just to hold a crystal is not necessarily going to do anything, right? Is it the intention behind the usage that's important?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's really it. Once we know that there is energy and intelligence within the crystal and an awareness, then we cleanse it, and then we sit with it, and in the book I talk about a little ceremony you have where you have 21 steps to programming the crystal, and it's about becoming in tune with it. You know, you see the skaters dance at the Olympics, and they are so in tune with each other physically and spiritually. That's why their dance is such magic. So we create that dance with our crystals by tuning in at the deepest level to it. So you have to be quiet, and you have to sit with the crystals. You have to get to know it. I mean, I often chat with my crystals. How are they doing? You know, what are they thinking? I have a relationship with my crystals because they are alive to me. They are entities. And so when you do that, you then have a process by which you purpose them. You tell them very specifically what you want them to do. And you're never negative with crystals. You never, call them bad names. You never scold them. You're always positive and affirmative with crystals, and you would instruct the crystal what its purpose is. Some crystals will be healers. Some crystals will be peacekeepers. Other crystals will be used for intuition and writer's blocks. And whatever it is you need, you instruct that crystal to do certain things. If I'm writing a book, I'll put a crystal on my desk and I will consecrate it to the job. And I will say, okay, you and I are going to write this book. I need you to bring me all of the information that I need to have to write the perfect book. I want to serve my audience. So together we will go out and into the ethers and get the right information, whether it comes to us in the form of a phone call or a link, an internet link, whatever it comes to us in the form. My crystal and I have done that. And then when we finish the book, I retire it and I thank it very much and I give it a break. Then I'll pick another one. During the fires, I had when I came back to get allowed to get medicine and vitamins and our whatever jewelry we could take out. I also brought a couple of crystals with me, and I brought my kyanite because that is my healer crystal, and I brought that and a couple others. And I said, okay, your job, guys, is to protect this city. You must protect this city because the fires were still raging up the coast and us, you know. So I had crystals that I put to work, and then I connected with my crystals here at home, and I told them to stay strong and protect the house and all of that. So everybody is working all the time with various different purposes. And then when they've done their job, I go ahead and give them a moon bath, clean them all up, and then prepare them for the next job.
I love this. This is amazing. So to my listeners, we're talking with Kak Young about her book, Healing with Crystals. And actually, Kak was with us June 20th of 2017 to talk about her book, The Healing Art of Essential Oils. And so you may want to listen to that. That is an absolutely beautiful book as well to check out. So Kak, like we said, the book is available in bookstores, on Amazon, I guess through your website.
No, it's actually only available on Amazon. We have a few. Divorce is doing some distribution for us, but right now it's on Amazon. We're able to service people quickly with the book this way, and eventually we'll put it out into bookstores. But Amazon's, you know, the best. Plus, if you've got Amazon Prime, you don't pay for shipping. So there's all kinds of positives for being on Amazon.
Exactly. I love it. That's where I list my books, though. It's so easy for people to access them. So, well, anyway, we are out of time. This is amazing. Thank you so much for contacting me and being my guest again. It's been over a year since we talked, but it's just wonderful to have you. I look forward to going through this book now that I have more information and learning how to use this, because it's just something I've always been interested in. I think a lot of people are. But anyway, it's been wonderful to have you. Thank you so much for being my guest.
Thank you, Randy. It's always a joy to be on the air with you. And thank you for loving crystals. They will love you back.
Okay, that's really good to know. I'm excited. I'm thinking about my crystals, and I'm thinking about how their personalities of them that I never really gotten to know. So we're going to work on that. Okay.
Oh,
well,
boy.
Thank you.
Oh, boy. I love it.
Okay, thank you. We'll talk soon. So we are out of time for today, but if you have any comments or questions about today's show, you can email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Join me next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com, or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.